Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye not done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you. But they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Baalim. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them, and they turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised them up judges, then the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed and vexed them, or oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the angel of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people hath transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died, that through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered he them into the hand of Joshua. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Excuse me. So then, verses 1 through 5 is the first portion of the chapter, and we might call this Bochim. Bochim. You know what Bochim means? It means weepers, or the ones weeping. It's a participle in the Hebrew. the ones weeping. Why did they weep? Well, they wept because they saw their sin. They wept because they saw that they had not done what the Lord had commanded them to do, and that is to throw down the altars and to run the people out of the land, the Canaanites, to avoid their gods and their forms of worship. And they had not done that. And the Lord called them out and convicted them of their sin. And they named that place Bochim, because the people lifted up their voice and wept, and they offered sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice did they offer? It doesn't say. I'm thinking that they probably offered sin offerings unto the Lord because they had sinned against Him. So it was some of those very costly offerings. But notice that they were also rending, it seems anyway, that they were rending their hearts as well as their garments. They were indeed weeping before the Lord, calling upon His name. And so they named that place Bochim, the weepers. Well, that's an interesting name to put on a city. You know, I mean, that would rival some of the cities that the city names I've seen perhaps in Arkansas or other places, you know, Weepyville or Weepingville or something like that. But let's remember that such remembrances are helpful. And many of the place names in ancient Israel were indeed based on certain circumstances that had taken place, that they might be, as the old theologians used to say, remembrancers unto the people of God, that they might remember those occasions and again make a sanctified use of them. It's not a bad thing. What did Jesus say that we should do when we come to the Lord's Supper? Remember, right? One of the things that we are to do is to remember. The Lord has given us a regular reminder of His work in that way. So let's take note of that. Let's take note of the days of weeping and the weepers there at Bochim when the Lord convicted them of their sin. And as we have been speaking on repentance unto life in the morning service, let us then make a good use of that. Let us weep for our sins. Let us weep for the sins of others, because that too is biblical, especially if you remember the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "And if you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive." So, yeah, there is a proper weeping for sin. Let us, in our own right, be those Bochim. So that's verses 1 through 5. Then in verses 6 through, well, probably 13, really. Let's just call it 6 to 13. We have this generational gap. It's a sad, sad thing. This is a generational gap that is a gap of faithfulness. So Joshua died. The elders that were with Joshua died. The elders of the people, they died. They were replaced by new leaders. And notice what it says about those leaders. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which He had done for Israel." This is a twofold failure. First of all, it's a failure on the part of the first generation. Now, I don't know how deep that failure is. Only the Lord can note that. I am rather a fan of Joshua's. I'm rather inclined to believe that he did what it was in his hands to do, to pass on the mighty works of the Lord to the next generation. And so it may be that he was working very hard to do his duty and they were simply not receiving. I don't know. Or it may be that there was a failure on the part of Joshua or those elders. But we have this great gap of faithfulness between these two generations that the Bible makes note of, and so we must also make note of. So this cannot happen. It cannot happen here. We must be faithful generation to generation. We have three, maybe four generations here, as my mother has been attending now. So that's at least four generations. And between those four generations, there must not be a dropping of the baton. Some of you know I'm making an allusion to a relay race there. We must not drop the baton. We must pass the baton on to the next runner. Why do they run relays? Well, because if you're going to run a mile relay or a 2 mile relay or a 4 mile relay, well, then everybody's running a mile instead of one guy having to run 4 miles. What does that mean? It means that if one guy's going to run 4 miles, he's not going to run fast as four guys running 1 mile. And so we want to make sure that we don't drop the baton from one generation to the next. This is work upon each generation. Those older generations making sure that it is indeed the true faith that is being passed on. The younger generations making sure that it is the true faith that they are receiving and cherishing and laying up in their hearts. To fail of this is to fail in eternal proportions. That may not mean an eternal failure according to some individuals. But if you take a look at the rest of the book of Judges, which, by the way, the rest of this chapter sets up the outline for the rest of the book of Judges. Right? That's what we're seeing in the second half of this chapter. The outline, the ABCD, for the rest of the book of Judges. To fail of this, then, is to brand an entire generation faithless, although there may be a few in that generation that are faithful. Right? The Bible's not speaking absolutely incrementally, absolutely particularly, speaking in those broad terms here about those, because the Lord says He'll always have a church, He'll always have people on earth to worship Him according to His will. But there may be a generation in which those faithful are so few as to be virtually invisible looking at the generation itself. And so when we read here that there arose a generation after that that knew not the Lord, it doesn't mean that none of them knew not the Lord, but it does mean that the vast bulk of them knew not the Lord. And so then we go in to this cycle, which the rest of the chapter takes up, of apostasy, bondage, crying out to the Lord, and then deliverance. And then after deliverance, we might say, fat and happy, right? So A, B, C, D, F, maybe not E. But A, B, C, D, F, and then after fat and happy comes what? Indulgence and apostasy again, followed by bondage, followed by crying out to the Lord, followed by deliverance again, judge after judge. And so let's remember then that it is important that we all have a part to play in this, just like every runner in the relay race has a part to play, making sure that the baton is handed correctly and it is caught correctly. We must not drop the baton. We must be faithful. And of course, we have landmarks for that, don't we? We have helps to that. We're not simply left to our own conceptions of that. We have a document such as the Westminster Confession of Faith that helps us with Bible doctrine to move down the road in such a way that we have defined what faithfulness is for many generations. Not to say our confession can't be improved upon. Perhaps it can. This may not be the age to do that. But it's not an inspired document. It is a summary document of inspiration that helps us, keeps us in the lines, keeps us with the dirty side down and the shiny side up, right? Because we don't want to turn it over. So, that takes us up through verse 13, and then in 14 through the end of the chapter, we see the sad consequences of that. The sad consequences of the dropping of the baton is that the people of God worshipped Baalim and Ashtaroth. And when they worshipped Baalim and Ashtaroth, the Lord sent spoilers and destroyers among them. They, for their part, recognized in the midst of their affliction. Sometimes that's what it takes. It takes some kind of affliction to wake us up spiritually, to get us to see where we've gone astray. And so they woke up in the midst of their afflictions, and the Lord sent them a deliverer, a judge, as they cried out to Him. And in the days of the judge, they walked with the Lord for the most part. But then, at the death of the judge, they apostatized once again. And so we see this cycle repeat and repeat and repeat throughout the book of Judges. And that's really how the chapter comes to an end, as we see this outline for the rest of the book. Thus ends the reading of Judges chapter 2. And